We are continuing in our study of the book of Timothy. We had gone through a couple sets of verses in the book of 1 Timothy. This morning, we're going to jump into the book of 2 Timothy. So if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open there. We're actually going to start right in the beginning of 2 Timothy, starting with chapter 1, verse 1. So we're going to read a little bit of scripture this morning. Is that all right? All right. And hopefully you can stay with me and I can speak clearly. And we're going to talk on the subject of fear this morning. Fear. It's going to be good. So let's start with our scripture this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Again, just some background quickly. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul. And at this time, a little different from the time of when he wrote 1 Timothy, but when he wrote 2 Timothy, he is now imprisoned in Rome, and he's pretty much on waiting his death sentence for being a follower of Christ. So he's in prison in Rome, awaiting to be executed, and he's writing these letters, and this is part of what we call the pastoral epistles. So these are letters that are written specifically to pastors, and specifically in this case to Timothy, who was a young pastor who had taken over a church, I believe in the town of Ephesus. And he was a young guy, his first pastorate. He was about 30 years old when he had taken over leadership there in Ephesus. And Paul is writing these letters as an encouragement to Timothy, being a young guy in a new ministry. He's facing struggles. Amen. Can y'all picture that? He's facing struggles. He's writing it as instruction. So he's writing these letters to Timothy as instruction to him as how to lead the church, how men should lead in the church, how women should lead in the church, how we should act in the church, how the body should act together. So he's writing these letters as instruction. And you'll see here in the book of 2 Timothy, he gets a little more passionate. This guy is waiting his execution, and he's writing to his protege, Timothy. So he gets a little more passionate in his writing, and we'll see some of that this morning. And what we're going to address and what Paul addresses here is some of those fears that are starting to overcome Timothy in his new ministry, some of the fears and some of the roadblocks that fear can bring Timothy in his ministry. And we're going to look at that this morning, what fears are obstacles in our lives. What fears are keeping us from doing what God has called us to do? I don't want to give too much away, but let's look at the scripture. That's just some background. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 reads this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, he's awaiting his execution, but what is he talking about? The promise of life. I mean, this just goes to show the heart of Paul. I love that. So Paul, in verse 2, to Timothy, a beloved son. Now he's calling him a son. He's showing that much passion, that much affection for Timothy. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's just a little introduction to Timothy. Just a quick note, Paul does a lot of these introductions in his writing. Only in the pastoral epistles does he put mercy in there. Grace, mercy, and peace. I think he's saying pastors need a little more mercy than some of his other writing. That's just a side note. All right. So verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Okay, something to learn there, church. In his prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Do you see the lineage there? God had reached his grandmother, then reached his mother, and now has reached Timothy. So there's an important thing about bringing your children up in the Lord. Where was I? Verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, this is where we're going to focus. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do not be ashamed, nor of me, his prisoner, of Paul, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And then verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So this morning we're going to talk about fear. Okay, we talked about it a little bit. You can imagine the type of fear that Timothy is now going through, because his mentor, Paul, is about to be gone. He's not going to be there to help lead him, to help instruct him. So there's fear setting in with Timothy. But again, he's encouraging him and instructing him not to live with a spirit of fear, but to live with a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. So we're going to talk about fear. Everyone knows what it's like to be afraid, right? Is there anyone that's never been afraid? If you raise your hand, you're a liar. Okay? We know what it's like to be afraid. Was anyone ever afraid of the dark when they were little? Yeah? Oh, man, you admit it? Okay. Cool. Our kids are kind of going through that right now. We definitely, like, we shut all the lights out. They freak. So we have to leave the bathroom light on in the hallway, and then it shines into both rooms. So they're kind of going through that. I just want to talk about fear a little bit. Fear and phobias. Anyone have any phobias? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this is just a quick fun thing. We're going to talk about 10 most common fears and phobias. The 10 most common. Ready? If you have one of these, you can raise your hand, but you don't have to. Have you ever heard of trypophobia? Trypophobia, it's the fear of holes. The fear of holes. I had never heard this one. Apparently, it's pretty popular. The mere sight or thought of holes can set off a panic attack in the trypophobe. As a result, the individual avoids objects such as coral, sponges, skin. I don't know how you avoid skin. Meat, dried honeycombs, and pretty much everything that has holes in it. Never heard of that. Okay. Next one. One of the most common ones. Aerophobia. What's that? Fear of flying. Fear of flying. Aerophobia. So it affects nearly 6.5% of the world's population. That's a lot of people. We'd probably include Miss Chrissy Keith in that, wouldn't we? Yes, we would. She does not like flying. All right. Number 8, misophobia. Well, we're going down. I'm sorry. This is top 10. We're going 10, 9, 8. So we're at 8 right now. Misophobia is the fear of germs, okay? The fear of germs, often closely related to obsessive compulsive disorder. I think all of us have heard of that one. Next one, I suffer from this one a little bit. Claustrophobia, the fear of small spaces, right? Nearly 5 to 7% of the world's population is known to suffer from claustrophobia, yet only 2% seek treatment. I found that interesting. I suffer from that one a little bit. Small spaces getting cramped, that weirds me out a little bit. All right, number 6, counting down, astrophobia, the fear of thunder and lightning, known to affect nearly 2% of Americans and 98% of all dogs. Dogs hate that stuff. I know Steve and Debbie, you have a problem, right? Yep. Oh, yeah. Number 5, countdown, cynophobia, the fear of dogs, speaking of dogs, So cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Nearly 75% of cynophobes are women. I find that interesting. Though the fear also affects men. The condition usually begins in childhood, but many patients are also known to have developed the fear in their adulthood. Okay, fear of dogs, number five. Agoraphobia, the fear of open or crowded spaces. Not real familiar with this one. Anybody? No? Prevents the phobic from visiting malls, markets, theaters, and other crowded areas, as well as open grounds. It's like the complete opposite. Okay, number three, top 10, acrophobia. I think this is where you were going, Dave. Acrophobia, the fear of heights. Anyone have the fear of heights? The zip line is not easy for me at camp, y'all. I might pull it off fairly easily, but I'm freaking out on the inside. Especially that real tall tree that goes over the lake. Yeah, Dez knows what I'm talking about. Dez had the loudest scream on the zip line last year, and she's going to try to one-up it this year. Okay, cool. So the fear of heights, number three. Two, ophidiophobia. I don't know how to say that. Ophidiophobia, the fear of snakes. Okay. Fear affects nearly one-third of the human population. Wow. Okay, and number one, probably the most common, is arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. I had a fear of spiders. I'm still a little weird with spiders. But at the zoo, we had this giant, when I worked at the zoo, we had a giant tarantula. And I was, like, forced to try to handle this thing. And I kind of got over it a little bit. It still freaks me out, though. It was called a rose-haired tarantula, and it was about this big, and it would crawl up my arm. Yeah, not my most favorite thing. So again, we're just talking about fear this morning. And I think one thing we'll discover is that there's really two kinds of fear, right? There's really two kinds of fear. There is a fear that's good, right? There's a fear that's good. It keeps us from picking up a rattlesnake, right? Hopefully. So there's a good fear there. From jumping off the side of a building, there's a good fear. The second kind of fear is the bad kind of fear. The fear that limits us. And that's the fear we're talking about this morning. The kind of fear that's irrational. The kind of fear that cripples us and doesn't allow us to do the things that we're supposed to do. That's the fear we're focusing on this morning. In verse 7, again, said this is the spirit of fear that we're talking about in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, this fear that limits us, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So this fear literally can paralyze us, and I think you guys can see that. It keeps us from being the person that God has designed us to be. It keeps us from being the person God designed us to be. It keeps us from fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to fulfill. We have a purpose here, and that fear can get in the way of us fulfilling that purpose. But this passage also gives us some insight on overcoming this fear, right? Let's talk about Satan's purpose of this fear. Because Satan is involved. Y'all know that, right? Satan is involved. What does the scripture say? For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, then it's coming from somewhere, not of God. So we need to notice that this morning. So Satan is the master of using our fears. He can keep us from being an effective Christian. He can keep us from being an effective Christian. He can use our fears to keep us from experiencing the true joy that comes in being a follower of Jesus. Fear can keep us from experiencing joy. I think we all know that this morning. Satan uses the spirit of fear to do a couple things. Make our lives miserable is one. Make our lives miserable. Worry and fear can make our life literally miserable. How many of us walk around every day worrying about things that we ultimately have no control of? How many of us? Probably all of us can raise our hands to that. And then on top of that, we walk around worrying about things we can't control, and then at the same time, we wonder why we're miserable. We wonder why we're miserable. Have you ever met a worrywart who wasn't miserable? No. How many of us stop short of maybe trying something new? Maybe something you've always had a passion for, but your fear of failing is too great. Your fear of failing is too great. The spirit of fear can make us miserable. Satan also uses the spirit of fear to do what? To make us ineffective. To make us the church. We're talking to the church this morning. To make us ineffective. Many times we don't share our faith with someone because of fear. Has anyone been there? I've been there. It's real. What do we say to ourselves? What will they think of me? What if I turn them off? What if I mess up? What if I don't say the right words? What if I don't have the answers? They probably won't listen to me anyway, right? That's what we say to rationalize it. These are the common fears that Satan uses to make us ineffective witnesses. Again, we have a purpose here that God has put us here for, and that is to share the good news of the saving work of Jesus Christ. But when we allow fear to step in, guys, we are not being an effective church. We are not fulfilling that purpose. Here's also what fear does, what Satan uses. It prevents us from getting involved in service. It prevents us from getting involved in service. I can't teach a Sunday school class because of fear. I can't help in the nursery. I could never be a pastor or a missionary. Fear. I can't sing on the praise team. I can't share my testimony. That's what fear does to us. It makes us ineffective in serving God. But what does our scripture say this morning? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Right? The first step in dealing with such fear is to understand again that they're not from God. And we must try to resist it. The spirit of fear is not of God, and we must try to resist it. The second step in dealing with such fear is understanding what God has given us. What has He given us? He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. He's given us a spirit of power. Let's talk about that. And I'm going to go ahead and ask our praise team to come on back up this morning. And we're going to sing here at the end. But He gave us a spirit of power, right? And that word power in the Greek is literally translated as dunamis, like dynamite. He's given us explosive, powerful, dynamic power. I don't even know how to describe that. Dynamic strength or ability is what He's given us. That's the spirit He's given us. When we're doing His work, proclaiming His word, representing His kingdom, we have all His power backing us. All of His power. The dynamic power of the Holy Spirit is available to us. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The third head of the triune God living in you. Are we tapping into it? Are we truly living by the Spirit? If we are, we'd be able to experience this dynamic power. Or are we allowing our fears to overtake us? Are we allowing our fears to overtake us? We're given the spirit of power. We're given the spirit of love. This tells us a lot about the power He's given us. Many think of power in terms of how much we can control others, right? When we think of power, it's how we can control. But Jesus' power is expressed in how much we can love and serve, not ourselves, but others. Remember Jesus on the night before the cross. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, what did he do with all that power the night before in that room with his closest people to him? He humbly washed his disciples' feet. He served. He served. God has given us a sound mind, a spirit of a sound mind. The Greek word here literally has the idea of a calm, self-controlled mind. In contrast to the panic and confusion that rushes in on us when we're in a fearful situation. Not a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. He's given us the ability to be calm. Not through our own selves, but through the work of the Spirit in us. He's given us the ability to be self-controlled, maybe in a crazy, fearful situation. Are we tapping into that? We don't need to accept what God has not given us. We don't need to accept that we're just always going to live with this spirit of fear. Because again, that's not of God. God has not given us that spirit. And we need to humbly receive and walk in what he has given us. A spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Boldness matters, church. Without it, we can't fulfill God's purpose in our lives. We can't fulfill it. God's purpose for you is more than just making money, going to work, more than being entertained and being comfortable. It's for you to use the gifts that God has given you to touch the people around you and to help a lost and dying world. Fear and timidity will keep you from using the gifts God has given you. Fear. God wants you to take his power, his love, his calm thinking, and overcome your fears so that you can be used in a powerful way by God. What's holding you back this morning, church? What's holding you back? You know, when I think about if someone were to ask me, what do you want Grace Church to be known for? I think my number one answer would be a group of people who live boldly for Christ. Live boldly for Christ. Are we doing that? Are we allowing fear to hold us back from fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, for God's purpose for this church? So where are we this morning, church? God's given us a spirit of power. We should leave this building this morning with the spirit of power. Y'all know we know the answer, right? We have the answer to all of God's troubles, all of this world's troubles, I should say. We have the answer. But I think sometimes we leave this building and we go into shutdown mode. And we say, well, I can't really share the answer because what if they don't accept it? I can't share the answer of Jesus Christ because I don't really have all the answers. If they ask me something, I'm not going to know how to answer it. That's a spirit of fear, guys. And I want you guys to live boldly for Christ. And I'll tell you this right now. If you've never experienced walking somebody from death to life, if you've never experienced sharing a gospel message with somebody and them accepting it, and it changing their lives, if you've never experienced, you are missing out. That is why we're here. You're missing out. What's holding you back this morning? So our praise team is going to sing. And I just pray this morning that if you have this spirit of fear, that you would just pray that God would just remove it right now. So that we can leave this place empowered to fulfill our purpose. And that's one simple thing, to lead people to Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and sing.